says this: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And that is what we are thinking about this morning as we share in communion together. And we're going to start just by thinking a bit about what is it all about? What is communion all about? And you'll have picked up in that reading that a couple of times there, Jesus says that we're to do this in remembrance of him. Do this in remembrance of me. We don't do a lot of things in remembrance of stuff, but I know that, Terry, you've had a few things that you have to remember every year at this time of year.
I do. What does everybody normally remember this week? What have people been doing buying cards and stuff for? Ah!
Some of them.
Some of them have been. Okay.
Maybe others are in trouble.
Well, I think it's a good idea. For us, it's the 2 days before Valentine that I really try and put a little bit of effort into, because it's Danny's birthday. And I do try. Dan will tell you I'm the least romantic person she knows, but nonetheless, I do try once a year to do something that's sort of mildly romantic, and I tend to write her a poem. And so this week, I had to get home early from work to get going with the poem so that I could leave it lying there when she came in from her party with Vicky, so there'd be a poem for her. And of course it takes an effort, doesn't it, to write a poem. You've got to think, what is it that sort of kept us together all these years? You know, you start to think about the things that you really enjoy in the other person, and you try and have something that's sincere, but also something that's perhaps a little bit amusing as well as you put it together. And the exercise of trying to do that is a helpful way of actually increasing the bond between you. When our kids were born, I didn't buy flowers. I thought that was a rather conventional thing. Most fathers appear with flowers, and I just couldn't bring myself to buy flowers when each of our boys came along. But I did try and buy a piece of jewelry for Dan each time, with one of the boys' birthstones in it. Nathan is July, which is rubies. And when Solomon says that her price is way above rubies, he has set the bar very high, as I discovered when I started to try and buy something with even the smallest ruby in it. But with Joel, I bought a set of earrings that had got opals, because that's his birthstone, a couple of opal earrings. And Dan lost one of them. And for 2 or 3 years, she didn't have a pair of earrings anymore. And then just this year, in a very strange place, up pops a surprising opal earring. And so she has a set again. So things that we set aside to remember, and the things that we do year by year, the things that we set aside, the things that we wear occasionally to remind ourselves of why it is that we first got together, and why we continue to be together. And Jesus asks us to do that, I think. Here we do it twice a month, once a month in the morning and once a month in the evening. But he says, remember me. What is it that we're doing? We're going to do something that we sort of physically share together this morning to remember. Not necessarily particularly romantic, but I think it is important that we keep that bond of love alive. And sometimes it starts by trying to do something that isn't particularly romantic, like going to a jeweler's or sitting down with an empty sheet of paper and trying to fill it with meaningful words. But however we do it, it's worth the effort. So does that make sense?
I'd ask them.
Does that make sense?
I think yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So do I take it you forgot to get a Valentine's card?
No, I remembered. Thank you.
You did?
I did.
I think
I
it's
did.
Better to reach a truce on Valentine's, that you won't do Valentine's cards, because I think they're a racket, but I think the birthday is worth it.
I'll tell you about that later. Anyway, so Valentine's Day has a whole load of stuff that gets stuck on it, doesn't it? And probably a whole bunch of stuff that many of us don't really like. Like you say, it feeling sometimes like a bit of a racket, that it's just a bunch of people out to get money from you, probably for a bunch of flowers. But perhaps at its best, it's a day that reminds us to remember the people that we love and that we care for, and a day that reminds us to show that in some way, to tell them to show it. And communion, as we come and share in it, is a part of that. It's about remembering Jesus' death. It's about remembering his love for us. The biggest part of it isn't about our oh, that was fun. That woke him up. Isn't about our love for him, but is about his love for us. And he didn't show his love to us with a card or flowers or a meal for two from Marks and Spencer's. But God went much further and showed his love for us by sending his son to die. It didn't cost him money. It cost him his son. And it's what we remember in John chapter 3, verse 16, or what we're reminded of. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so this morning, as we carry on in our worship, I've got a little Valentine's card for you all. A card, we'll say, is from God. A reminder of what he's done for you to show his love to you. And as we sing the next couple of songs, these are going to be given out to you by some helpful and young volunteers who are now selecting themselves, and they're going to come forward and help me in giving these out as we sing our next couple of songs and remind ourselves of God's great love for us.
We're going to think a little bit as we come up to communion, ask ourselves a few questions to maybe try and open it up for us. So what was our first question?
What is this all about?
What is this all about? We've thought about the fact that Jesus has called us before he was crucified. When he knew what was going to happen, he breaks bread and he says to those around him, please remember me. Do this. Keep doing it. And actually, although this is probably it's the fifth time, I think, in your Bible when you're reading through the New Testament that you come across this story, this one is probably the first one that was written down. The first time that somebody wrote down what Jesus said was probably in this book that Paul gives us, telling us what Jesus did and how important it was. So one of the questions is, should I take part? Earlier on this week, I was involved in some mediation. A couple of my colleagues have fallen out quite badly, and in the middle of it, I found that there were some difficulties I didn't really know how to resolve. And so I went off to chat to a person who helped me once before, when I discovered some of my ideas in somebody else's paper. And he was really very helpful in sorting that out for me. So I went to him and I asked him about it. And I'd hardly gotten into it. I said, I've been asked to mediate. And the first thing he said to me was, who asked you to mediate? And I said, well, the head of department did. And so he said, okay. But that was a really important question, wasn't it? Who asked you to do it? Who asks us to do this? Jesus asks us to do this. And that's quite a strong mandate, really, isn't it, to come and to do this. Am I too young to come along? Well, clearly, I'm young, and I've been young all my life. But how old do I have to be before I can take communion? And that's quite a difficult question. At this church, we ask that if you're still a child, that you talk to your parents about it and that you go with their advice. For me, I think it's really important to be that baptism is part of taking communion. For me personally, my father was quite an unorthodox character. It's a bit surprising, isn't it, really, that he's given such a legacy of very orthodox children. But nonetheless, he was quite an unusual character and did unusual things. And I remember when I was about 10 years old, he baptized me in the pond behind the place where we were living, he and the family, right? Not the sort of thing that you would say is a good idea necessarily. And I can still remember the first communion that I took after that. If we were Catholics, we would lay a great deal of emphasis upon that first communion. And I'm not suggesting that we do it in quite that way, but nonetheless, I remember for the first time I felt free to take communion, and I can still remember sitting in the pew and having communion there. And I would say, if you're not baptized and you're taking communion, you should ask yourself, why not? When am I going to get baptized? When am I going to have that part of the experience too? But I think it's important that, and we're encouraging people to get together as families, and I think it's important that as families, you work out whether this is something for you or not. What if I don't believe what the rest of you believe? Can I still take part? And that's a tricky thing, isn't it? You're in a group of people. I was chatting to somebody yesterday who was saying that in the country that he works in, sorry, he's an English person, but he does a lot of work in Kenya, and he was saying how much of the civil life is infused with a sense of Christian ethics. And he said you'll go to a very secular meeting, a meeting of a building, of a buildings community or something, and people will say, let's start with prayer. And he said even the Muslim people in the room will bow their heads in prayer. Do I just go along? Do I wait? What do I do? And one of the tricky elements of this is Jesus gives us a strong command to come, and Paul also says, but don't do it lightly. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And I was thinking, what sort of other things in life have a really big upside and perhaps a downside that we have to think about? I was thinking about the last time I went on a roller coaster. What are roller coasters for? What's the main aim of a roller coaster?
Money.
Money, okay. There is a cynical adult view of roller coasters. Let's have fun.
Oh, fun. Yeah, that one.
For most people, and the last time, I think I was in my early 20s the last time I went on a roller coaster. I went to Alton Towers, and because of the crutches, as soon as I joined a queue, I got whisked to the front of the queue, so I didn't wait around like everybody else does, all the rest of you do. And I spent the day actually getting sick and recovering from feeling sick. I remember, you know that pirate ship thing that goes like that? And I thought, that can't be too bad, can it? So I got in one end of that. And I remember looking down at the top and seeing my crutches like two little matchsticks. And then that second when you completely are weightless and then whoosh, down you go again. And that only happened about, it doesn't happen very many times, but I remember struggling off that. And then I went into that one of those 3D sort of movie dome things. And I had to prop myself against a stay of the tent, because every time the thing goes around a corner, you want to lean into the corner. Of course, people are falling down all the time because their eyes are telling them that they're turning and their body is telling them that they're not. And I got sick again. And then, you know, so anyway, but the roller coaster, it's meant to be fun, isn't it? But then this great big metal bar comes down. What's that all about? Protection? Some other words. Okay, I can absolutely. I can see your mum's been at you really, really well about that. If you're not tall enough, you might fly out. It's there to protect you, and it reminds us that there's danger next door to fun. And in a sense, Paul says, if you do this the wrong way, there can be an element of danger. There are protections that God puts in, and because of that, he says, examine yourself. Think about the week ahead. Andy and I had a bit of a falling out yesterday, and we thought, what are we going to do? We're supposed to be sharing the platform this morning. What are we going to do? And so we got in early, and we spent some time praying before we come to communion. And it might be important for you to spend some time thinking about things in your life that you need to be putting right. Now, there are some people who say, I can't take communion because I'm just not holy enough. And that's a really difficult one. I don't know how you answer that. But sometimes I think there are times when I think God overrules. And I think sometimes the call of Jesus to remember overrules our own sense of inadequacy. And I think sometimes you just have to say, Lord, I am a bit of a mess. I've done things wrong. I will try and put them right over the next week or the next month or whatever. Please give me the strength to do that. But I want to remember you this morning. I want to share with others in remembering you. As we come up to the time of actually going through the little ceremony, we will think about things that we might do. We'll try and use John 3:16, a very simple verse just to meditate on to prepare ourselves for what we're going to take. Think about the love of God for the world, the love of God that was so great. Let's try and it's worth sometimes, as well as the trying to get our relationships sorted out, I think it's also right to spend some time taking maybe a favorite bit of the Bible or something like that and working it through. We're going to be taking John 3:16 at some stage. Is that right, Andy?
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Okay. And they've all got it written down in front of them now.
They've all got it. That's right, with Valentine written down the middle.
Clever.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.